According to T-Dub, whom I always inconvenience on the phone when he's on tour with the Spice Girls in Fishwick, there are 54 car brands currently down on their knees and gagging to play your flute here in Australia, if you've got the cash, of course. 54. That, frankly, is amazing to me. And I suspect most people with a gun at their head would say, oh, I don't know, about 20? And then it'd be clean up in aisle 3. Oops-a-daisy. So in this report, I'm going to hack and slash and use slander and libel and innuendo, profanity, and every other trolling tool at my disposal to go where other motoring journalists fear to tread and help you decide which automotive brands not to buy. I'm Peter Dogan from AutoExpert.com.au, new cars cheap, Australia only, website, card. So, if you're buying a car this year or thinking about it or something and you're a mainstream buyer, like a normal car buyer, you're not in the market for a freaking Ferrari or something and not one of those quaint folk for whom only a Fiat will do. Like, if you want a normal mid-size family SUV or something and you just can't decide which one, that's mainly because there's typically more than 30 freaking different vehicles available in all of the popular categories if you make a complete list. And every car maker website has a billion reasons why theirs is the only one worth buying. Only, I would argue more than half of car makers are anti-consumer shitheads, and it's always disappointing to see people marry into those families on the showroom floor. And most reviews, they just don't help. They're thinly veiled advertising because of entrenched bad incentives in motoring journalism. The burden here for you, of course, is too much choice and bad advice. Just making a full list of alternative vehicles in particular categories is a major research exercise. And therefore, the easiest way to accrue a manageable shortlist of decent vehicles in every category is to eliminate the brands that are simply irrelevant or just not worth owning. And that's exactly what I'm going to do for you in this report. The brands which I would not touch with a barge pole, or anyone else's pole, for that matter. This video is sponsored by Manscaped, one of my favourite brands. This is the Handyman Compact Face Shaver. You get a quick, close shave anywhere, anytime. It takes up almost no space, and it does a mighty job. Check the dual blades, a standard foil shaver over here, plus a long hair leveler blade for stubble. It's a dead easy way to get smooth with the one tool. Both blades have skin-safe technology, which is designed to minimize nicks and cuts. The Handyman is perfect in a gym bag or airline carry-on. If size and weight matters, this is a terrific grooming solution. It knocks down up to 3 days of growth super fast. Leave the complex grooming to others and just get on with the day, dude. The Handyman's got a strong lithium-ion rechargeable battery with up to 60 minutes of runtime, so multiple shaves between charges. When the indicator blinks, just whip out a USB-C cable and commence docking procedures. And it's IPX7 waterproof, which helps make cleanup quick and easy. You walk into the shower more or less a Yeti, and you jump out nice and smooth. And all the fallout goes down the drain with no more cleanup to do. That's brilliant. So, whether you are a first-time manscaper or a smooth old pro, kind of like me, so to speak, the Handyman is a great upgrade to your grooming arsenal. Go to manscaped.com/autoexpert and grab the Handyman now. Use promo code AEJC to get 20% off this excellent shaver. I'm a convert, dude. I've been using the Handyman for months now. Razors, so medieval when you think about it, especially when they go blunt. 20% off now with promo code AEJC at manscaped.com/autoexpert. Thanks, Manscaped. Nice one. To do this evisceration diligently, because that is my middle name, diligently, not evisceration, I took T-Dub's 54 automotive brands, and I lost the ones with the crosshairs firmly centred on the uber-wealthy. The Ferraris, the Bentleys, the Aston Martins, Lamborghinis, Maseratis, McLarens, Rolls-Royces and Porsches. You're not in the market for one of those, dude. And if you are, I'm not talking to you, so go away. And straight away, we're down to 46. Yes. Safe to say, when your new Ferrari goes poopy in its trousers, like, not if, when, you're going to have another 10 cars to drive or something, and none of those are going to be pieces of shit. And although exorbitant, you can probably afford the repair bill. I ditched Mercedes-Benz vans and Iveco bus from T-Dub's list also on the basis of their broad-spectrum irrelevance to car buyers like you, plus the brands that managed to sell fewer than 50 cars across all of 2023, which would be Alpine, Caterham and Chrysler. That left 41 notionally mainstream brands all gagging to dicen up your beautiful money in exchange for the privilege of you rolling down the street behind their badge. And according to me, during a detailed consultation in the shower this morning with Tiffany, you are flat out insane if you detain yourself with fantasies orbiting 23 of those remaining brands, which would be more than half of the brands remaining. So here we go. Ram, LDV and Renault are all privately imported in Australia by a company you've probably never heard of called Ateco. In my estimation, Ateco has roughly the same commitment to customer satisfaction and fairness as Kim Jong-un. As an example, which you can research independently, and I suggest you do, Google the term Timothy Rigby LDV. You're looking for a consumer law court case in Queensland, right? And it's going to be right up the top of the search results, okay? Basically, Timbo worked at a surf club at Sodom and Gomorrah by the sea. So he parked his LDV T60 ute there in the car park, as you would, because he's not an animal. And then, when the vehicle's rust just got out of control, they attempted to throw him under the bus, opining that this rust was caused by him parking near the ocean. Not in the ocean, right? Just near it, like half of the Australian population, right? Therefore, they argued, the problem was on him. He had to go all the way to court in order for a judge to point out just how fucking absurd their argument was. LDVs are poorly made. Renault is a reliability disaster, and Ram is a rolling advertisement for wilted wedding vegetables. Kindly do remember that LDV is not the same thing as a Hilux, only cheaper. It's just not, dude. And the importer, entertainingly, seems to think that consumer law is kind of optional. All three brands are overseen by the Kim Jong-un of customer support, and with that, we're down to 38 already. At this point, let us therefore march Alfa Romeo, Fiat, Lotus, Citroen and Peugeot into the Zyklon B chamber of non-consideration. Alfa is the hot but crazy Italian chick from the office, and you want her bad, dude, but it doesn't end well. It's hot and exciting for about a month. And then you come home and you find the walls painted with number twos, which is always unexpected and somehow disappointing. Also, needing to lock the kitchen knives in a biometric frickin' safe every night is typically an untenable long-term relationship burden. Fiat, Lotus and Citroen are Italian, British and French respectively for shitbox. And Peugeot is for people who think a French BMW might actually exist. None of them sell in sufficient numbers to ensure adequate numbers of dealers or adequate spare parts inventory on shore or adequate dealer investment in technical training. And they're all quite unreliable, which is a bad combination when you think about it. So there's you in a hypothetical future in your quality European conveyance, calling roadside assistance from Lane 3 of the Harbour Bridge at 8 a.m. That's what you've got to look forward to if you go ahead with this mad plan. When you finally get that thing to the dealer, they won't care or be able to diagnose the problem, and the parts will take at least 6 months to get here. This doesn't happen if you buy a Corolla or i30, I'd suggest. And we're down to 33. Chery is a Chinese car brand named after a stripper. The quality is terrible, but not as bad as the calibration of fundamental driving systems. And the resale value is going to be, let's be kind, somewhat disappointing. The jury's out on reliability and support, but why do you feel compelled to be a lab rat in that particular kind of mad frickin' experiment? Volvo is what Mercedes would be if Mercedes were Swedish and devalued by its previous owner Ford for donkey's years, and then desperately fire-sailed to the Chinese to avoid bankruptcy. Volvos are gorgeous-looking cars that drive really, really nicely. But they're unreliable and very badly supported in Australia. In effect, they define the term European automotive quality for what it actually is. An epic oxymoron. And now I think we're down to 31. Polestar is Volvo's ugly green half-sister. She doesn't wax. Polestar is teetering hilariously on bankruptcy as we speak, so yay, always good to buy a brand that's going bankrupt. And it's built on a babushka doll-like foundation of implicit untruth. Polestar pretends to be Swedish, and it even has a P.O. box in Gothenburg, so yay. But it's owned by a Chinese company called Geely, and Polestars are all, in fact, made in a Geely factory in China. Although some will soon be made by Renault in Busan, South Korea. I doubt this is going to make them any better or any more Swedish. Also, the Polestar 3 and Polestar 4 have these morbidly obese batteries, which are a fundamental insult to environmental conservation, objectively. Check out Polestar if you must, or perhaps just ask your quack to prescribe stronger meds. I invite you to visit Polestar's gorgeous shop in the Chadstone Shopping Centre if you're ever in Melbourne. It's down there, right next to the Dunnies, which somehow seems quite appropriate. Down to 30 now. KG Mobility Ni Sanyong. It's a mistake, dude. Come on. People typically buy a Sanyong expecting it to be the same thing as a Kluger or a Santa Fe, only cheaper. But it's really not. The most tragic Sanyong customers cannot admit this to themselves, and they compensate by inflicting their delusions of equivalence on random people they meet socially. It's disgraceful. Buying a Sanyong is unequivocally a mistake. The company was so insolvent for so many years that R&D just stalled on the grid, and investment in the product has been basically non-existent. Sanyong was never much good from the get-go, and they have diligently avoided improving it for many years now. The brand was so on the nose that when the South Korean government finally coerced KG into rescuing it, that the first order of business was to change the name and bury Sanyong so that people could forget the horror. Buying a Sanyong is, to me, kind of like shopping for a discount vasectomy. 29. Jeep is, of course, a religion in America. You've got the Hank cranked up, the AR in a rack behind the driver's seat, and you're wearing your 44-inch waist tactical pants just in case something kicks off. Rubicon Trail, here we come. Reliability is properly shit, however, and parts prices are, well, the mafia does business this way. Jeep is the neutron star of the Australian automotive landscape. Its sales collapse even further, hilariously, every year here. 30% down 2023 versus 2022. And that's a trend, okay? They're going nowhere fast. You know, in Top Gun, And the F-A-18 screams, altitude, altitude, pull up, pull up. That's what it's like to be the Jeep Australia sales director, I would argue. Terrain, terrain, dude, pull up. Word has just finally gotten around on Jeep, right? Buying one is a catastrophic error of judgment. Consumer Reports in the United States maintains the top 10 least reliable vehicles list. The Wrangler and Grand Cherokee are on it, of course. And now we're down to 28. Land Rover and Jaguar are the disunited kingdom's answer to Jeep and Chrysler, respectively. These two brands were always dependably crap. Like, gorgeous, but crap. They got even worse when Ford owned them and incrementally gutted them just before the financial crisis. And now they're owned by an Indian conglomerate named Tata, which hasn't really changed their functional trajectory in the slightest. Not that I can see, anyway. Here in Australia, Land Rover exists to keep tow truck drivers above the poverty line. And the parent company really doesn't have a fuck to give about its atrocious reliability, its terrible support, and extortionate repair costs. That's just part of the Green Oval deal, dude. Just Google Sally Morphy Range Rover, that's M-O-R-P-H-Y, to see what exceptional lengths Land Rover Australia will go to when it comes to throwing a Range Rover customer properly under the bus, and how much it cost Ms. Morphy to climb out and say an emphatic fuck you very much to them. 26 now. Time to talk about good old three-prong now. Official car maker to Satan. Mercedes-Benz, in my estimation, the most up-itself car maker in existence. Manufacturer of the most gorgeously desirable shit cars ever. If you buy a Mercedes-Benz, their attitude to this transaction mainly concerns their incredible generosity inherent in allowing you to roll publicly behind the coveted German Shuriken. Look what they're doing for your reputation, dude. Seeing you rolling with three prongs. Who hasn't wanted that? I can't be the only one having that particular dream every night. Perhaps I should just lay off the mushrooms. Doing you this incredible favour in exchange for your filthy lucre, which they grudgingly accept. Just don't come whining about your problems if you experience any afterwards. And dude, you will. That's beneath you. Unless you've got even more of your unclean cash to launder, then they might, you know, kind of half listen to your concerns before brushing you off on a technicality. Three-prong customer support is the shittest of the three German premium brands, even worse than Audi. More shit than just about any other car maker that isn't Land Rover. Mercedes are just also hilariously boned all of its dealers, so you can't even negotiate the frickin' price now. They've exploited a little price-fixing loophole in the law, and it's not illegal, they're just shitheads. No reference to individuals is, of course, made. The Mercedes-Benz shit price guarantee ensures that you will always pay the shittest possible price for your new three-prong, as will every other Muppet who still deceives themselves into believing that owning one of these things is a good idea. Thankfully, vulnerable Muppets are on the decline in this respect. Three-prong sales have evaporated from 37,000 in 2017 to just 24,000 last year. So it's fair to say that many Muppets who would have historically been susceptible and gagging somehow for a new Merc actually see the three-prong shit price promise for exactly what it is, the bad deal of the century. This is a reduction in annual sales for them of 1.3 to 1.5 billion bucks per year. It just screams, we've made a catastrophic commercial error. It's hilarious, except of course in the Mercedes-Benz boardroom. That's 25, I think. Honda, Honda, Honda. Inventor of VTEC, the former BMW of the land of the rising sun. Honda got brain damage in the GFC, of course, and despite therapy and intensive self-medication at the highest level, it really didn't help. The Honda is today just a shadow of its former self. Like Three Prong, they too have boned their dealers, and they want to avoid drowning by invoking their own Honda shit price guarantee. They stopped selling the hugely popular, with grannies, Jazz, and they decided it was a really good idea to lift the price of a base model Civic to $47,000. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall at those meetings. Honda was selling more than 50,000 cars here in 2018. Last year, fewer than 14,000. They'll have to pull the pin on Australia soon, or I guess they could give it to a Tico to ensure a properly lingering death. If you want to buy today what Honda was in the 1990s, then just buy a Mazda. Mazda is what Honda was. And now we're down to 24. At the outset on this one, before you start, fanboy, I know Tesla is a religion, and I know Elon Musk is Tesla's Jesus, and I know the religious find blasphemy somehow offensive. So, thank Christ we live in a secular society. I don't hate EVs, however. I lived with a Kona Electric for a year, and I really like that car. The MG4 is also pretty cool. There are cool EVs, certainly, and EVs worthy of consideration if you've got that particular usage case. But what I hate is people lying about EVs. I really hate that. Elon Musk and Tesla are, of course, inseparable, and nobody has done more lying about EVs more consistently for longer than Elon Musk. He really is the best in the world at that. But buy an EV if you want. Make it a Tesla if you must. But Teslas have appalling build quality, despite...
At this point, I think I know more about manufacturing than anyone currently alive on Earth.
The level of authentic self-delusion really is astonishing, is it not? Teslas are badly built, badly supported, and EV ownership is really not what many people expect. It's a pain in the ass, and they're not going to save the planet, and Tesla is looking shaky, frankly. They've got no new decent product. They can't even make the Cybertruck. Musk has been forced to go on a discounting rampage across the range, and that's just driven Tesla's biggest customers away. And that's crashed the share price at a time when real car makers are competing for his share of the market, finally, which he previously enjoyed exclusive access to. The only thing continuing unabated, frankly, is the lies. Don't be surprised if Tesla ends up in the hands of Chinese owners, ultimately. Perhaps it might be a BYD sub-brand. It'd be interesting to watch the congregation shrink when that happens. That should be good for some hate mail, I suppose. Down to 23, I think. Volkswagen remains, of course, an emphatic don't buy. This also means Skoda, Audi, and Cupra. Volkswagen is a criminal organisation. I'm not exaggerating. This is a fact. And don't take my word for it, please. Read this release from the US Department of Justice. They didn't even fight it in the court. They knew they were criminal scumbags, so they just pled guilty to save money. They're all about the bottom line, that mob. Essentially, Volkswagen took the criminally conspiratorial decision to poison people because they simply had more important obligations to their shareholders. And that's what Dieselgate was, fundamentally, right? If a person did this, you'd call them a sociopath, and you probably wouldn't do business with them. You just wouldn't. You'd avoid people like that if you knew what was good for you. But let's say that you're the kind of individual who just doesn't give a shit about any of that. It's kind of ancient history. If that's you, then here is my review of every Volkswagen available in Australia today. This is my honest review. Nice car, looks great, drives really, really well too, but way too unreliable, and the customer non-support is exactly in line with what you'd expect from a self-admitted criminal conspiracy described in some DOJ's press release. If you expect a fair go from Volkswagen when the chips are down and you really need their support, you are simply barking up the wrong bratwurst. And now we're down to 19. Just one more to go. Can you guess which company that is? The winner, if that's the correct term, is Nissan. Yes. Like Honda, Nissan got brain damage in the GFC, and like Honda, they never recovered, sadly. The product range today is a joke. Like, point me to the Nissan that's a good idea to own objectively, because I'm really not seeing one. The best I can do, the kindest I can be to Nissan, is to say that they've consistently done the absolute minimum required to remain only just solvent. 58-ish thousand sales in 2018 in Australia, around 39,000 last year. And their customer support is beyond terrible, in my view. Furthermore, according to cyber security specialist Mozilla, Nissan are just specialists at exploiting your privacy. They're the worst offender in an industry that is properly shit at respecting and safeguarding anyone's privacy. Meaning Nissan cyber stalks you as you drive and has no qualms about slutting out your information, where you went, what you said, how you behaved, what you SMS'd to Tiffany, the contents of all of your text messages, in fact, slutting it all out to the highest bidder. Adding injury to insult, Nissan can't even keep your personal information secure while they're hanging on to it. They got hacked in Australia and Sheepshagistan recently, that was December, I think, by cyber criminals called Akira Ransomware. But they couldn't even be honest about that. They didn't say the truth, like, we got hacked. Instead, they cranked up the weasel word generator and called your information being stolen while in their custody a, quote, cyber incident. A cyber incident. Which is, of course, like defecating in your trousers on the bus and calling it a digestive incident or an elimination incident. But they take your privacy very seriously, right? So seriously that in response to being hacked, they wrote a weasel word blog post on their website, it's up there today, and called the federal cyber cops, which is pretty much the same thing as doing fuck all, in my view. Well, certainly it's the absolute minimum that they could have done, at least insofar as I see it. They promised support and assistance, of course, but insofar as I can tell, that's been limited to a list of things customers like you might do, such as changing your password and looking out for any scams. Thanks very much for all that support and assistance, you assholes. No reference to individuals is made. Like, I'm all about the corporate conduct, dude. When it comes to Nissan, it's like sci-fi luminary Arthur C. Clarke famously said. Remember when he said that any sufficiently advanced technology would be indistinguishable from magic? Remember that? Like, if you were to turn up at the Battle of friggin' Hastings or something in an Apache helicopter, they'd be calling you Merlin henceforth and you would never buy yourself another drink, right? In Nissan's case, I would argue that any sufficiently advanced incompetence is indistinguishable from malice. They're basically that bad. To me, this makes Nissan's conduct somehow worse, right? Actual malice, yeah, okay, I know what I'm dealing with, but incompetence that's so bad, it's like malice, that's worse. They're like dangerous, but off the rails. It would be like owning a car from demented Darth Vader. So if I'm adding this up correctly in my head, that would be 18 car makers left standing. Not a bad effort, seeing as we started with 54, right? That's 36 have gone under the bus, which is exactly where they will seek to throw you at any opportunity on the balance of probability. If something goes wrong and you need support and you don't want that, 2/3 of the automotive brands in Australia are not worth considering if you're a mainstream buyer. Some obviously are just irrelevant and or obscure, but some, I would argue most, are simply crap to have a relationship with, mainly because They only see you as a source of enduring revenue. They're basically looking at you like you're some sort of ATM with legs and the burning desire to own just the Goldilocks wrong car right now. Of the 18 that remain, some are admittedly a bit line ball. I'm looking at you, GWM. Like, your Tank 300 is quite badly calibrated, but the ute seems almost okay. 18 non-shit car makers, let's call them, from which to choose. And I know that non-shit might seem like an odd place to paint the boundary between cars to consider and otherwise. But in the car industry, just being non-shit, like having non-shit product and being not totally shit at customer care, is essentially the same thing as actual excellence, at least on a comparative basis. Just being non-shit puts you in the top one-third of all Australian car makers, which, as I see it, is a fairly amazing achievement. But perhaps you don't agree with my determinations. That's okay. Happily, my give-a-fuck tank is on E in relation to that, dude, but let me have it in the comments. If you really, really have to buy that Sanyong or that three-prong or jump into bed with those criminals from Wolfsburg, or if you must have Nissan's online nose fare up your digital snatch for eternity, explaining to Russian hackers exactly what you thought Tiffany might get out of receiving those odd pictures, have at it, dude. Let me know in the comments. It's your money, though, if you want to spend it. I promise to sleep just fine if you manage to shoot yourself in the automotive junk.